Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
But first, in 1971, Richard Nixon declared a war on drugs. And for the last 50 years, that declaration has shaped global policy on how to tackle the issue. But is that approach still fit for purpose? Madam Helen Clark is former Prime Minister of New Zealand and a member of the Global Commission on Drug Policy. She joins me on the line now. Helen, how are you?
Great, thanks.
When you hear that now infamous line, the war on drugs, where do you stand on that? Is it still a war and does it still pack that sort of punch, our approach to drug policy?
Unfortunately, the approach driven by Richard Nixon that half century ago still pretty much characterizes the global approach to drug policy. The attempt is to prohibit the use of drugs, to eliminate the use and supply, or to significantly reduce it. This has not only been a dismal failure, with demand and supply actually consistently increasing, but it's also taken a tremendous amount of lives, caused over-imprisonment and a lot of social misery all round. So more than time for fresh thinking now.
So what view of drug use do you bring to your role?
Well, on the Commission, we are united in saying that prohibition is the problem. We don't support the prohibition. We don't believe that anyone using drugs should be criminalised. We see these as essentially health and social matters. We think that drugs need to be regulated responsibly. We regulate tobacco and alcohol in many societies, for example. So we need to regulate drugs according to their potential for harm. But to criminalise, drive people underground into the hands of criminal networks for supply, none of this makes sense.
I suppose, as you say, the horse has already bolted. So looking at harm reduction and putting people's health and safety first, when you look into the UN policy, that is number one, putting people's health and safety first. But how difficult is that?
There are a lot of administrations around the world that really don't support effective harm reduction. And then there are some who support some bits and not others. One of the most encouraging developments has been to see the Biden administration say, we want to get into this area. Now, we've seen at the city and state level in the United States, for example, some very progressive policies which have really aimed at saving lives and seeing these as health and social issues. But this is the first time we've seen this from a federal government in the US. So that's encouraging. And what we suggest is that just as the US takes a different approach at home, wouldn't it be wonderful if it led the world out of the war on drugs, which Richard Nixon led it into?
And of course, putting health first and harm reduction, you need to look at the treatment services for drug addiction and harmful drug use. But international funding has very much contracted over recent years, hasn't it? It's estimated it covers only 5% of a global need. So that makes the job rather challenging.
Yes, it's very, very challenging. And of course, with respect to injecting drug use, if we don't provide clean needles for people who inject drugs, then we are setting them up for HIV transmission, hepatitis C, and any other disease that may be carried through unclean needles. So it becomes a matter of the greatest importance to have basic harm reduction services like needle exchanges. My own country was the first in the world to set up a public Ministry of Health supported needle exchange scheme more than three decades ago. And it was tremendously helpful for us in getting on top of the HIV epidemic in New Zealand, as in many other Western countries. So we need these kinds of policies, the safe consumption rooms, or drug consumption rooms, as they're sometimes called, the provision of the anti-overdose drug to be available wherever there's a risk of overdose. There are many things we can do to save lives and improve people's health in this area.
How did you turn public opinion on safe needle use in New Zealand. On this very radio programme, I've had somebody on who was looking to get that into an inner city area of Dublin where needles are being thrown around the street. And the overwhelming response by text from listeners was just no. Keep it hidden, keep it pushed away, denying something that's happening anyway. How do we turn that sort of opinion, do you think?
Well, in New Zealand, this was accepted more than 30 years ago because what we were far more concerned about than people injecting drugs was the possibility of HIV transmission, because people who inject drugs are also likely to be having sexual relationships, and that can then become the vector for transmission of HIV into the broader community beyond the community which is injecting drugs. So it's just such a basic no-brainer public health measure to provide a safe needle exchange scheme. In New Zealand, that was done without legalising or decriminalising drugs. Obviously, we're more advanced on those debates now. And often the harm reduction efforts do occur in a kind of a grey area. Drug consumption rooms in many European cities, for example, may not necessarily be in areas where the use of drugs is legal, but the safe consumption rooms are tolerated by the authorities because they save lives.
You're famous for being against classist snobbery. Do you think classism plays into people's thoughts on drug use when the reality is it permeates all of society's levels?
It does permeate all of society. But I think what I would take from your question is often the image of a person who is injecting drugs is someone who's really on their knees in the mean streets of our cities, injecting in a back alley in very unsafe circumstances. Over the last year, I reached out a hand to a gentleman in Glasgow, which has one of the world's highest rates of death by overdose and significant HIV transmission. And this gentleman set up his own safe consumption van because he felt so strongly about people in Glasgow huddled in these shocking conditions, very dangerous to their health. And so for me, we just have to see every human life as important, and we have to reach a helping hand out to those who have an issue, have a dependency, and are living out that dependency in very, very unsafe and unhealthy circumstances. So we have to help. I think that's the basic point I would make to the Irish public.
How important is that community element that you touched on there with that guy in Edinburgh, the grassroots level? One of the UN's mandate is to refocus enforcement responses to drug trafficking and organised crime. And community-based and other non-criminal sanctions are proven to be more effective. So how will you work with the various governments to make sure that change is happening at that level?
I think engaging our community organisations is absolutely vital. In Glasgow, one man made a difference. He got everybody talking about the issues. The police actually endeavoured to arrest and prosecute him because he wouldn't let them into the van where someone was safely injecting drugs. But the public pressure was so great that they've had to back off. And now the Scottish government has picked up the issues of not really wanting Scotland to be known as the place of the highest rate of death from drugs in all of the European Union. So one person, one engaged community group can make a tremendous difference. And I think often the kinds of services we're talking about are best provided in peer services or through the community base. In Sydney and Melbourne, in Australia, for example, the drug consumption rooms, certainly in Sydney, are run by the Uniting Church. They saw a need as an inner city church to provide this service. So I would really commend this approach to the communities who are concerned about these issues. And I would say to the authorities, turn a blind eye, and see what this can do for the health and safety of people in your community.
When you look at the overall mandate of the UN, the peace and security, human rights and development, where does drug policy sit within those?
Here's the problem. We look to the United Nations Convention to be a gold standard. You know, the Human Rights Declaration of the late 40s, where Eleanor Roosevelt played such a role, we're all proud of it. You know, we endeavour to uphold it. We have wonderful conventions on the rights of women, the rights of children, the rights of people with disability, conventions against corruption. But in this area of drug policy, the conventions are a disaster. And in an ideal world, they would be thrown out and we'd start again with international law that put the health and human rights of people first. Now, obviously, that's going to be a very challenging endeavour, but our commission believes that the conventions are wrong-headed. They need to be thrown out, take a zero-based approach and design something that's appropriate for a world which should care about health and human rights.
You said earlier, turn a blind eye at your peril to, you know, local government and government level. But when you stop doing that and when you actually look at the figures as you are now and you can see the human rights violations, the money laundering, the organised crime, the drug trafficking, when you are looking at all of that in reality, how do you remain hopeful that you can elicit real change?
Well, it's going to be very tough to wind back from the war on drugs and the damage that it's done, for example, in Mexico and other countries in the Central and South American area. But with US leadership, you could begin to get a change. I think we need to take people, you know, down a road of saying the approach that was mandated by the drug conventions and driven by Nixon half a century ago, it's been a total failure. So if something's a total failure, you need to look for fresh approaches. Now, on the ground, countries are doing it with respect to cannabis, some with respect to in effect decriminalization of all drugs. Portugal was an early leader. Switzerland, just pragmatic countries who said what we're doing isn't working. Too many people are dying. Too many people are getting very sick, having a transmission of deadly and very unpleasant diseases. So let's try something new. And I would urge all countries that haven't yet gone down this track to look at the best practice of these fast mover countries who found a better way. Portugal went from having the highest rate of death from drug-related causes in all of Western Europe to the lowest. Now, that speaks volumes to me.
Well, it's been an absolute honour to talk to you, Madam Helen Clark, former Prime Minister of New Zealand and a member of the Global Commission on Drug Policy. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Wow, a woman of great power. And I feel positive listening to what she had to say, particularly when there's somebody who has reached a point of power as she has through Prime Minister now working with the UN, but is still talking about a guy in Glasgow who drove around with a van trying to help people have somewhere clean to inject. I'd like to get your thoughts on what she had to say on the war on drugs and how policy needs to change. 53106, it'll cost you 30 cents and you can email afternoon@newstalk.com. There's one here saying there's no war on drugs, just a war on what the government can't tax and regulate. Having any involvement directly makes you a criminal for personal use or distribution. Well, that's not the way the new policy is looking at it, and they're looking to decriminalise it and reduce harm. But I do remember a few years back, I think it was around the time that the young plumber was killed by mistaken identity, and there was a huge amount of talk about gangland crime and drug use, and it was a TD stood up and said, if you're going out on a Saturday night and you're using drugs, you're involved in that. You can't sit on a Monday and, you know, say tut tut at what's going on in gangland crime. You're in that circle, and it certainly changed my way of thinking.
Moncrief on News Talk,
brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.